I hate this hill. They were jogging towards the summit, the pain in his thigh already screaming for him to stop. They had already completed 2 miles, and his breaths were becoming laboured, not from lack of stamina, but because of trying to hide the pain in his thigh.
It's smaller than Brecken.
His fellow jogger was breathing normally. That's supposed to help?
Mind over matter?
I know, you don't mind and I don't matter. His companion laughed at his quip. He knew he was recovering. 2 weeks ago, he had been walking at this stage and only managed to get halfway up the hill. At least there was oxygen, not like before in the high hills of Afghanistan. Running at several thousand feet above sea level whilst carrying a full set of kit was considerably harder. Being shot at whilst avoiding your own side's missiles made it harder still. A 5-mile run in the gentle hills of the South Downs in gym kit was much easier.
Let's stop,
his companion Colonel Perkins suggested. I'm good, Captain Tom Laring lied.
I know.
The Colonel was not out of breath, and Captain Laring did not think he was believed.
But we do need to talk.
This was it then. His 8-year army career stopping right now. A gentle chat on a hill with views of the sea in the distance. It was a glorious early summer morning. All that training, the full infantry tour in Kandahar, and then the return, leading an SAS unit. Now it was all to be gone, along with the mission that went wrong. 2 dead, and the rest of the section injured, pulled out, and now asked to leave. He braced himself for the bad news. His companion found a bench surprisingly devoid of other walkers or runners. Mind you, it was only 7:30 a.m. according to his watch. He'd been given this one to replace the one that left shards embedded in his wrist. He gazed out at the view, letting his breathing return to as normal rate as he could muster. He avoided rubbing the injured thigh. The watch injury was only a glancing blow. It broke his wrist, but it glanced. A more direct hit would have taken his hand. He had no idea if that had been caused by shrapnel from the nearest blast or a bullet. At that moment, he had not cared. The wrist had hurt. The thigh had not. The shoulder injury was another glancing blow. That was a muscular bullet wound, not a bone fragmenting, and thankfully a small caliber round. The thigh was not a problem, not until he was on the hastily arriving Black Hawk loaned from their colleagues in Delta, or more likely a US Air Force Special Ops craft. He had no time to check in the darkness. He had dumped one of his colleagues, barely alive, through the open helicopter's door, after carrying him on his uninjured shoulder. He had no idea how he had managed to carry him. That was the last he remembered. There were dizzy recollections of other helicopters, murky images of tents and lights. Lots of partly heard mumbles from gowned and masked medics. Then there was nothing. He awoke to see the white walls and bright lights of a hospital facility at Bagram Air Base. A few weeks later, via sedated airlift, he had had a spell in a Birmingham hospital. He had started physiotherapy there before discharge to the discreet spa near Brighton. He'd visited his surviving colleague in Birmingham. His recuperation would take much longer on artificial legs. He'd attended the funerals of his 2 dead colleagues in Hereford, dressed in his uniform but still in a wheelchair. He could not meet the eyes of their families. There was no press. The SAS did not encourage media attention. 1 minute, bullets were flying, and the next, efficient nurses were offering tea and sympathy. According to the most recent doctor who had treated him before he left for the spa, he had died twice. Once on the helicopter, where a combat paramedic had used chest compression to bring him back. The second time on the operating table, when a scratched artery had popped. He, of course, could not recall either event. He was relieved to find he had all limbs, digits, and eyes. His hearing suffered for a few days, no punctured eardrum, which was another relic. The bruising all over his body could have been from any, all, or just the effect of the explosions. The 3 weeks leading up to the final assault would have harmed his body too. The psychologists had already started the treatment of the injuries to his psyche, as if such support would clear his conscience. His team, his leadership, and his mistakes. The misguided missile had injured and saved them from the ambush they had stumbled into.